Draft week is here. I cannot wait. You cannot either. The NFL draft, I was noticing a Thor Nystrom on Twitter, works for NBC Sports Edge, came up with a new term that I love. He calls it football Christmas. And it really is. For 3 days, the options are limitless. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And everyone is so confident and upbeat and positive about these new players joining the NFL. I cannot wait. We're going to go deep. Bold predictions, different scenarios, all the things we think will happen and not happen starting Thursday night. Let's go.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's the Washington Football Talk podcast with JP Finley. That's me. Pete Haley's here. Mitch Tischler is zooming in from sunny Southern California. Good to see the boys here. I want to start by thanking Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. I want you to do the exact same thing. OrsmanVA.com is the website. Six locations. They can take care of anything you need. You need a new Lincoln Navigator? They got you. You need a new Kia? They got you. You want to lease a car? They got you. All of it. Check them out. OrsmanVA.com. Listen, some housekeeping off the top here. So I want to churn through this. First off, what's up to my guy, Sam Mello? Oh, Sammy D. I love you, buddy. Draft schedule. We are going to have live pods every night. So Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday evening-ish. Saturday evening, depending on what coast Mitch Tischler's on, I will invite the boys to the back porch for hypothetical bourbon and cigars.
Yes.
So, yes. I am back in town for the draft. So we'll be raring to go.
Okay, cool. Keep that in mind. So like this is going to be your pre-draft podcast, barring something outrageous, which when we get to our predictions and stuff, I don't see happening. So I think this will be the podcast until Thursday night. So everybody knows the schedule now. Everybody by Saturday evening, be ready with a hypothetical bourbon, hypothetical cigar. FedEx Field is hosting an event Thursday. Now, I don't know if that's sold out yet or what, but I'm really excited that they're having an event. I think that's going to be fun. And it's just like a step towards normalcy, which is dope. I'm going to be there. I don't know who all is going to be there. I think I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to, assuming we're allowed to see people, we're going to kind of play that all by ear, but I'm fired up just to be back at FedEx. It's just every inch towards real life. I'm excited about. I'm also going to be at MGM Thursday night from 8 to 10, I think. So if you want to come to MGM, me and B-Mitch will be there. I got a busy Thursday planned, Pete.
How are you going to blog at MGM? Are you going to have to step away from all the fun and the lights and blog some in-depth draft stuff?
I mean, I'm guessing they got Wi-Fi, Peter.
I would assume so, but where are you going to put your laptop? At the blackjack table or what are you doing there?
I think we're going to be at Tapped. Okay. And I think I'll just be at a table probably.
Good spot.
I mean, they asked if I could do it. I said, yes, we don't have any TV at night, but I said, I got to work. And they're like, yeah, that's cool. So we'll make all that work. And then my plan is, I don't know, we can delve into all that later. Also, dude, I did my first cameo. They were big podcast fans. So shout out to Rich and the Haters Club. That was fun. I made it because B-Mitch told me to make it, and it's weird. It's cool, but like I haven't put it out on Twitter or anything. I just don't know how to do that. I don't know. But it was fun, man. These guys are saying they love the pod, Nishant and John and Rich. So shout out to those.
Mitch, have you ever seen JP have so much energy at the start of the pod? He's just ripping through 100 things right now.
It's spectacular. Great. I love it.
Organized, dude.
What happens when you spend a couple days at home and you all of a sudden get to see some other people? Yeah. JP's rare and ready to go.
I've been laying down for 48 hours, dude. Like
your exuberance crazy, is contagious.
But like in a positive way. Good. Yeah. So we'll get into my surgery and everything else later. We always give Mitch a hard time when Carver is visible during our Zoom session. So Pete's cat is all over the place, just for people that are listening. Want to point that out. All right, let's get down to business here. That was all of the housekeeping off the top. I wrote a story for NBC Sports Washington. You guys can read it. I have five bold predictions for the NFL, for the Washington football team's NFL draft specifically. And I am going to, what do you want to do? You want me to just say them and you guys react? You want to say if you agree or disagree?
I think let's go around in a circle and alternate bold predictions.
Well, do you have five of them?
I have a couple.
You're just going to make them up top of your head, Southern California Mitch.
You think that we haven't been formulating crazy draft thoughts for the last two months? Fine.
We'll go in a circle then.
We were just talking about running backs being taken at 19. We've gone all the way down the rabbit hole of the draft.
All right. Number one.
I just would like to react. I don't necessarily have very many original thoughts of my own. So I can do the reacting if you'd like.
Okay. I think that's a more reasonable take than Mitch is just going to come up with five of them as we go. Don't you?
For the listeners at home, this podcast came together rather quickly. There wasn't a lot of preparation. We normally don't prepare that much at all, but this has been extra rushed. So sorry for the discombobulation here.
I don't think we're discombobulated.
Let's react to JP's. Go. What's number one?
I think we're quite combobulated. Anyway, they're not trading up for Trey Lance. Let's just stop that now. It's not happening. It's not happening at 8. It's not happening at 16. Not happening. I'm telling you, that's what's not going to happen. I'm not ruling out a quarterback. I'm going to get to some scenarios later that I think maybe things could change, but they will not be trading up for Trey Lance. Write it in blood.
I have a corollary to that in that I think that Trey Lance is the least successful of the five quarterbacks that are going to be taken in the first round of the NFL draft this year. That's my Trey Lance hot take.
I think he could be good, but needs the right situation where he doesn't have to play for at least a year.
At least.
Are you saying they won't, like, even if they get to 16, is that because they don't like Lance? They don't want to trade up? Because, like, I don't know, getting him to 16 seems like it'd be a pretty easy trade up to execute. So why are you so write this in blood confident about it?
If he gets to 16, just wait for him at 19.
Okay. Okay.
I don't think he's at the top of their QB board like some have suggested.
Okay.
I don't think he's near the top of their QB board like some have suggested.
Okay.
Now I've been kind of beating the drum on this about Justin Fields. It's just entirely all too quiet around him. There was a little smoke about whether he loves football or not, and nobody really rallied around that to talk about whether that was true or false as far as, you know, teams and anonymous scouts and stuff along those lines. I think there are a couple teams out there that love him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's the third quarterback off the board at number three.
No way. Hmm. I would not be surprised by that. I tell you what, we can do a quick 100 chips. 100 chips on the third quarterback off the board. All right, who's the pick at number three?
I think I got 45 on Justin Fields. I got 30 on Mac Jones. And I'll throw the last 25 on Trey Lance.
Wow. I'm going to kind of be the dummy who buys into all the Mac Jones stuff. I'll do 60 Mac Jones, 15 Trey Lance, and 25 Justin Fields.
40 Fields, 40 Lance, 20 Jones.
Wow. So I
don't think they gave up three first round picks to take Mac Jones.
Yeah. I think all that Mac Jones talk was smoke, and I'm not entirely sure why John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan felt the need to be so coy about what,
because they're smarter than everybody. That's why.
We know how they feel, but it seems like a strange, but here we are. We're a few days away from the draft and still don't know for sure.
All right. My second bold prediction, calling my shot. It's an O lineman at 19. Everybody focuses on the need at left tackle. You've only got Sheriff under contract for a year and you've got Morgan Moses under contract for 2 years. And that's your like settled side of the offensive line. Sure. They need a left tackle, but they need kind of everything. They just drafted Sadiq Charles too. Like maybe he like go back and read, listen what they said last year about Charles being the left tackle. I know there's questions about his arms. There's questions about Barrett Tucker's arm length. But I think Ron loves positional versatility, talks about it all the time. I also could see a tackle run. The kid Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State is getting a ton of love all of a sudden. And if Darisaw and Jenkins, listen, like, here's what we need to start compartmentalizing going into this. Stop thinking about the players that are going to be gone. Sewell and Slater are going to be gone. You're not getting them. So it's the next tier is where you're shopping. And you're talking about Darisaw, Jenkins, Vera Tucker. And I don't know who will be there. I think it'll be one of those three will be the pick. And I think Darisaw will be gone. And then I think they take Vera Tucker. So that's my specific called shot is O-lineman 19. And my, like, tickle, my spread a little money on the money line would be Vera Tucker.
Yeah. I heard Mitch on your radio show make this point, and I like it. Like, I understand the versatility is really good and Ron values it, but when it comes to left tackle, Mitch said, you know, I want just a dominant left tackle who I know is going to be entrenched there and not needed to be moved around. Personally, I like the idea of Darisaw more than Vera Tucker just because of that. You feel like he can really just hone in on that one spot as opposed to Vera Tucker not really knowing. But I understand it's not perfect, and you got questions coming up in the future, and maybe having a guy who can do a little bit of everything is a good idea too.
Let me clarify. I think Darisaw is going to be gone.
Yeah.
That's fair. Why I'm going AVT.
So that's what I was going to say. Is I Darisaw, I think, is in the same tier as Sewell and Slater. I just don't think he's necessary. There was a time that I thought that he would be there at 19. As we've gotten closer to the draft and you're getting a little more, I think, information on everybody, I think he's ultimately going to be gone. But if Darisaw is there at 19, he should run to the dais to take him. I don't like Elijah Vera Tucker that much. He is, to me, he's a guard, and there's nothing wrong with being a guard because we've seen, you know, you need dominant inside O-line play, especially as the rise of these D tackles that are incredibly athletic and good have started to come in the NFL. I just don't think that Vera Tucker fills an immediate need for them, and not that they necessarily need to fill an immediate need at 19, but Schweitzer played well last year. You have Sheriff, who's clearly going to be here at least for this season. If your first round pick isn't going to hit the field, I don't know that that's the right look. I would love for them to go O-line, but I think Darisaw is the only guy that I would go with at 19 if he's there.
Otherwise, you wouldn't take Jenkins?
I would not take Tevin Jenkins. I do not think that he's going to translate to the NFL as well as a number 19 pick should. I think he may be a good tackle, but he's a right tackle. And the best thing that he had going for him was that he was able to dominate folks in the Big 12. And I don't think that he's going to be able to maul folks that way when he gets to the next level. And so at that point, then it comes back to,
because strength. Big 12 defenses suck, or because it's all spread out. Why?
Because it's a spread. It's a lot of spread offenses. A lot of those outside D linemen are asked to cover running backs in the flat some and drop into coverage from time to time. It's just not the same level of athleticism, size, and strength that you're going to see day to day in the NFL. So, and on top of all of that, he's a right tackle. He's not even a left tackle. So, you know, obviously guys can make that move across the line to be able to go to the left side. If I'm picking at 19 and I need a guy to step in, I want a guy that I know can be there. So if Darisaw is not there at 19, I think they're going to go wide receiver. I think we're going to either see Kadarius Toney or Devonta Smith drop. If he drops there, they might end up there. So my bold prediction 19 is if Darisaw is gone, they're going to go wide receiver.
I can see it being Bateman too, if you're going that way. All right. I got three more. I think. Yeah, three more. They're going to draft two linebackers, not one, two. Ron has talked specifically about the depth at the linebacker position. I don't think they're taking a linebacker at 19. There's a scenario where they certainly could. But I think you add two linebackers, one maybe in the second, and then another one Saturday, like fifth, sixth round. I don't think that's a big surprise. The only reason I even listed that is because I'm calling that they draft two, not one, two.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely necessary because, you know, John Bostic to me just strikes me as I say this often, like a good linebacker for like 2004. Like he just doesn't have the total package of skills you'd like. And Cole Holcomb definitely flashes and they seem to like him pretty well. But I think this linebacker core is the one thing that's holding the defense back from being a really, really good one. And, you know, Ron took back some of his criticisms in a recent presser of what he kind of said all year about them, but I still think he knows that that group was not good enough and he was pissed off about them not being good enough. And he's going to want to get his own guys in there.
It's replacement level players. And that's why he's not worried about replacing them. Like,
yeah,
they signed him late. Like the thought of having to replace Kevin Pierre-Louis's production is not a concern because you just sign another dude similar to that. They want to get better. And I think they can. I think I've liked Jabril Cox for a while. Go check the tape. I think he's an option in the second round. I think there's the Jamin Davis dude, Jamin Davis. I can't figure out how to pronounce that dude's name. I'm very curious where he goes. I don't know how thrilled I am about him. Zaven Collins, I think, put on too much weight. Is he trying to be a pass rusher at 270? 270 is a lot of weight to be running around in the middle of the field.
There's a dude.
We're going to talk about Parsons later. I don't know, man. He's got every physical gift in the universe, but it just makes me a little nervous. I like JOK a lot, but I don't know. They got options.
Second or early third round is the Missouri middle linebacker.
Is it Bolton?
Bolton, yep. Nick Bolton. Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Kind of your like prototypical inside linebacker, which is obviously what Washington needs. He's a guy that looked like he they talk about him that he can cover well and can get downhill in the running game. And the one thing, you know, we talked all last year about Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera is they want guys to play the pass through the run. And it just kind of sounds like he's a guy who fits that mindset well. And I wouldn't be surprised if they end up going there in the second round.
I like that one. I got two more, and they're going to draft a tight end. I know how much excitement there is around Reyes, but he's never played football. And right now they only have Logan Thomas and Marcus Ball on the roster. So they're going to draft somebody. And I'm getting specific on this. I think they draft somebody I honestly think it'll be one of the two third round picks or the fourth round pick. Now that could all change once they start moving around. You know what I mean? Like that second, third could become two fourths or whatever. But I don't think they're waiting for a Saturday lotto ticket at tight end. I think they're willing to invest. We saw last year, they tried to get Greg Olsen. I'm blanking. There was a tight end they liked. Who was the kid from Dayton? Maybe there was a tight end they liked last year that just went a few picks before they went. They got the draft. Logan Thomas,
Austin Hooper too.
They were never going to pay that money.
Right. But they were interested in him at a lower number.
Yeah. But like a much lower number.
Yeah.
This is funny. Over the Cap still has Logan Thomas listed as a quarterback. Here's the other thing to consider. And I know everybody loves Logan Thomas and they've got him at a steal. He's a free agent after this year. Like you gotta start backfilling. You gotta play long-term roster construction. So saying they're going to draft a tight end is kind of whatever, but I'm calling it in the third or fourth round. That's the specific boldness to the prediction.
Mitch's that sun is blazing down on you. It looks very warm and sweet out on that deck. I'm very jealous.
Southern California sun doesn't get hot. It just gets like pleasant.
It's so pleasant. It's perfect. Oh,
you look radiant. You truly look radiant. One tight end name to keep an eye out on, Tommy Tremble, Notre Dame. He's got that kind of athleticism and, you know, not necessarily the best numbers, but looks like someone who could translate and be that more dynamic tight end as opposed to Logan Thomas, who's more of just a run 8 yards, catch it, go down after one more extra yard. Tommy Tremble could be the 20 to 30 yards, strike the middle of the field option.
Obviously, the draft never goes exactly as the experts predict. And we've talked about on this pod, JP's pointed out that Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera both know their linebackers, love linebackers, know the position well, might feel like they can get a steal or have a better evaluation of some guys maybe in the third or fourth round at that position. Maybe tight end is where they go in the second round. I think that I wouldn't be surprised if they really make an effort to upgrade that early on in the draft. And
yeah,
that
who's might the be, guy? Fryermouth or whatever?
Yeah.
Who's the kid from Miami? Mouth. There's a kid from Miami too who's early in the third round.
Yeah, you just said second.
Right. So I was going to say either in the second or they trade both those third rounds to move up and be able to snag someone. Here it is. It's Brevin Jordan. So I think that might be where they go, but they're definitely going to try and upgrade tight end. They need to, you know, But as far as Logan Thomas goes, you mentioned it, he's a free agent next year. That's a deal that I would go ahead and try and work on now. You know, you don't want to get to a point where he's hitting free agency. I love the idea of locking him up because I think you can get him for, you know, a reasonable number for, you know, 2-3 years from now.
I think Pete was a little unfair to Logan talking about the athleticism there. I think he's more athletic than kind of how you described, Peter. I also think Tommy Tremble is like a perfect Notre Dame tight end name. And there's a kid named Pro Wells out of TCU that I'm really only mentioning because his name is Pro Wells. And then my last bold prediction, and this Mitch kind of talked about this earlier, I wouldn't rule it out at 19, and I'm going to go to a scenario where I think it could actually happen. But, like, they definitely still need playmakers. And I think they're going to add more skill position guys, wideouts. Ron talked about how deep the wideout class was. I won't be shocked at all if there's, like, a Saturday wide receiver or – really, if there's a Saturday running back. I don't think any of that happens early, but I think they're going to continue to try to add weapons. I don't know about quarterback. Obviously, that's the key skill position. I don't think they're getting one of these top five guys unless something crazy happens. But I do think they're going to keep trying to add team speed and playmaking ability on the offensive side of the ball.
The Miley kind of final thought or last thoughts about if they don't go tackle at 19, the guy that I love is Sam Cosmi, Texas tackle. He's a guy that they could probably grab with one of those two third round picks. I would love to see what he's going to be able to do at the next level. I think that he could be a guy that you could kind of steal in the middle round and potentially plug in and be a starter.
Go ahead. My one dark horse first rounder, whether they stay at 19 or maybe if they somehow move back, which is a scenario we haven't talked a ton about because of all the QB obsession, Trayvon Mooring, the safety from TCU. When you talk about needing to plan for the future, you might seem like safety's log jammed right now with Landon and Cam Curl and Jeremy Reeves and Chase and all those guys. But Trayvon being such a good cover guy, seems like he would be a really good complement to Cam Curl, who's really good more so up near the line. So I think that might be a pick that, you know, I would really like to see them make. I just don't know if they will, but could be one that you then get rid of Landon after this year. And you have finally two good young safeties that you found, you developed, and you can trust for 10 years instead of the never ending David Brutons, OJ Atagways, even Landon Collins type carousel ride at safety.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
I kind of think they're just going to stay at 19 and pick somebody. And I have another article for the website that lays out the scenarios where they could land like an elite star or like a player that nobody thought possible at 19. Mitch mentioned it earlier. I think it's possible Devontae Smith gets to 19. And I think if he does, you take him.
Yeah.
Now listen, everybody's gonna be like, you don't know anything. Ed Reed was the 24th pick. Randy Moss was the 21st pick. Aaron Rodgers was the 24th pick. We can keep going with that list. Like, there are people that slip all the time for lots of different reasons. So don't be dismissive of it just because it, mock drafts seem to make it unbelievable. Just hear me out on this scenario for Devontae Smith, right?
Mm-hmm.
Five QBs go in the first 15 picks. That seems almost likely, let alone possible. Yeah. Two of the pass rushers, Ojulari and Kitty Pay. Three tackles, Sewell, Slater, Darisaw. You're already up to 10 players gone.
Yep.
Then you get the three corners, Horn, Surtain, and Farley, that everybody's saying is going to be gone. Maybe Farley's the last one of that. But that's 13 guys, right?
Kyle yep. Pitts.
Sure. Well, that's 13, and then you have four elite pass-catching options. Pitts, Waddle, Chase, Smith. Smith's the last guy picked out of that group because of the size concerns. He's 166. And that's before – we haven't even named a linebacker. We haven't even named Micah Parsons or any of these other dudes or any surprise pick that's going to happen.
All right.
So I think to be completely dismissive of Devontae Smith, who has a big question with this size thing, getting to 19, I think it could happen.
Does the size thing worry you guys on a scale of 1 to 25 alarms? How alarming is this size?
In this day and age in the NFL, not very much. You see small guys dominate this league in ways that they've never been able to. And especially when you look at, you know, Scott Turner's offense and how he was able to get the ball out quickly to some rather small guys last year, I have no concern about a guy based strictly on his height.
Well said. Same here. Height.
It's his weight. Like, I mean, 160 is small. I don't want to be totally dismissive of that line of reasoning. Tom Curran had an awesome article. Tom Curran's been cranking out brilliant content like he always does, but I don't know why. I've been reading a lot of Patriot stuff lately. So Curran had this article about way back in, I think, 2010, when Dexter McCluster was coming out of Ole Miss and the Pats needed a third down back, basically. And Curran, like, kind of said something to Belichick, like, hey, what do you think of McCluster? And Belichick's like, what? Is he 170? And Bill was kind of just making the point, like, that's too damn small in the NFL. Now, granted, it's a running back, so it's a little bit different. But the Pats ended up drafting Danny Woodhead, who was like 205. So there are smart football minds that will tell you this is too small and it's a real concern. For me, with Devontae Smith, watching him just dominate in the SEC, playing for Bama, just lighting folks up, it's not a concern for me, but I don't want to be overly dismissive of it, if that makes sense. For me, it's a 3 or 4 on the 25 alarm scale, but there's a reason you're getting him at 19 also.
Right.
If he was 185, he'd go 6th overall, and he still might. He could still go 11 to the Giants. But I'm just – these are my kind of like wild card scenarios where a stud gets to 19 and Washington doesn't have to make a move. I think the likelihood of Devontae Smith being there at 19 is slim, but I don't think it's impossible.
Devontae Smith and Slim, huh?
Exactly.
See what you did there.
So you guys will have to come up with the pun for this one. I think there's a reasonable chance they get Micah Parsons. Like, whenever Prisons? Character concerns, maturity issues, like, those dudes slide. And sometimes rightfully so. And I don't know that Washington can roll the dice on a maturity question mark after the Haskins debacle from 2 years ago. But, like, I mean, it's a similar scenario, right? Five quarterbacks, three corners, four of those elite pass catchers. You're already at 12. Three tackles, you're at 15. Two pass rushers, you get to 18. And that's before four linebackers off the board.
There's a balance between taking a guy with as many physical tools as he has and obviously the off-the-field issues. Ron has kind of made a point about, you know, going after guys, getting rid of guys who have had those sorts of problems off the field. Now, maybe, you know, they're going to obviously have their guys that are doing their own research. And if Ron feels comfortable that he's going to be able to bring him in here and be able to kind of put him in a good situation, then, you know, maybe they go that way. I don't believe that that's going to be the case. I don't think he's going to want to bring in, you know, a guy with those kinds of questions around him.
So real quick, one, I want to talk about Pete is producing the podcast now and he's doing a great job with it, but hello, NBC, can we get Pete off Nubby Zoom that we have to end at 40 minutes? Right? Can we just get him so that we can keep going, please? Because the fact that we have to end and restart is just so nubby.
So embarrassing for a giant podcast like this.
This is a question for you both, and I don't know the answer. So Micah Parsons opted out of 2020. There's rumors of him, like, getting into a fight in the locker room, hazing. Like, listen, I did a lot of dumb stuff in college, and I'm glad I'm not graded on later. Like, lots of people did lots of dumb stuff in college. I'm not willing to hold that against him. He's an absolute freak physically. I think he's still learning how to be a great linebacker, but the gifts are just off the charts. He is, if you can check his Instagram, like, he's tight with LeVar Arrington. LeVar Arrington came out and, like, adamantly defended Micah Parsons. For this organization, for the Washington football team, how does that make you feel about Parsons, that LeVar is the guy in his corner? Pete, you start.
I don't know if it makes me feel one way or the other, JP, just because I haven't, you know, I wasn't around when LeVar was here, so I don't have a great feel for him and what sort of person he is. I don't think it matters too much in my book. And that's the most boring response ever to a pretty good question, but just what I got to say about it. Mitch, please save this podcast and give something more intelligent than that.
I think you look a little bit about it with how Washington fans are looking at Justin Fields because they have PTSD from Dwayne Haskins. I think Washington fans have a little PTSD from LeVar Arrington because there were such high expectations for him when he came here. And, you know, obviously things didn't pan out the way that everyone wanted them to. The fact that he's in Micah Parsons' corner has no ill effect towards Micah in any way, shape, or form. I think the fact that a guy who has such a standing at Penn State is going to stand there and stand up for his guy and kind of have his back on it, I think means a lot for a guy like Parsons. And I think as far as its relation to the Washington football team franchise, I think there's very little the two have to do with each other.
Yeah,
I largely agree. It was just something that's kind of interesting. You know, it feels a little reminiscent. I mean, obviously LeVar didn't have any of the maturity questions or whatever,
right.
But it's just a stud linebacker from Penn State that's tight with a former stud linebacker from Penn State that this team drafted. Sure. So that's why, I mean, I think there's a real chance, you know, Parsons could get there to 19. And I tell you what, if, and I could be wrong on this, if they don't take him and he gets there, I think that would be I don't want to say an indictment, but I think that'd be a pretty big tell that there's questions about.
Yeah, team with this big of a need at the position saying, no, thank you, we won't take this guy, would tell you that Ron found some bad things when he did his research on him.
Right. And here's my last scenario, dude. What if the Mac Jones stuff is complete malarkey? And one of the most important things with the draft is, like, try to remind your brain to go back to early January when college football just ended and you've been watching these guys and you're like, all right, he's good, he's better than him, that guy stinks. And try to do that with the quarterbacks, because 4 months ago we were debating if Washington should even take Mac Jones at 19, right? Like, that was an honest debate. Now he's going to go third overall. The Niners traded up 3 first round picks to take Mac Jones third overall. What if this is all just a smokescreen? And then everybody's convinced all the quarterbacks are going top 10. The Panthers just traded for Darnold. The Broncos, you got Vic Fangio, who might just want Micah Parsons or stud corner. Some of them still like Drew Lock. Detroit just traded for Jared Goff. They're paying him a ton. Like, are we so convinced all these, like, the NFC's teams aren't taking quarterbacks? Sure, the Patriots need a quarterback, but, like, does anybody on the planet know what Belichick's going to do?
I mean, you're saying it specifically to Mac Jones, but I think it goes
Mac Jones is my example, but I think it's possible Lance or Jones could get to 19. I think Fields goes top 10.
I think so too, but you're right. There's a chance that one of those 5 quarterbacks falls all the way to 19, even though everyone is convinced that they're all going to be gone by 15. But when you lay out the scenario and you start, you know, reading the tea leaves that are there, it doesn't entirely make a ton of sense that all five of them are going to be gone that early. If there's a guy that you, if you love one of those guys or you like one of those guys and you think that they're an impact player, then go with them. But I don't know that, I don't know how I feel about taking a quarterback at 19 if Mac Jones falls there, because I wasn't enamored with him. I wasn't in love with him, you know, 3 months ago when we watched him play in the national championship game. I know that all the measurables and all the offseason stuff that happens around draftees is happening now. And I think Mac Jones is getting the biggest boost that he could possibly get, but I don't know that I love him at 19. So I might still sit pretty and take, you know, whether it's a tackle or that wide receiver, whatever it is, I don't know that I love Jones there.
Yeah. Thrilled if Lance makes it there. Thrilled if Field somehow makes it there. If Jones is there, I say, all right, keep on tumbling down. Maybe Chicago will take you right after we take our linebacker or lineman. So
that's crazy. So neither of you want Jones if he's there at 19? You want Elijah Vera Tucker more?
No, yeah. I don't want Elijah Vera Tucker at all.
I just am not moved at all by Mac Jones.
So it's not the measurables. It's the immeasurables with this dude is what everybody tells you. Just how intelligent he is, how hard he works. I, in January, wouldn't have wanted him at 19. I, in late April, would take him at 19. Who knows? Maybe he goes 3, dude. He can still go 3. He very much can still go 3. What's interesting, if you look at betting markets, he's no longer, I don't even think, the favorite. Can either of you guys pull that up?
Is Trey Lance the favorite at 3?
I know the odds on Fields drop dramatically, but I don't have those odds. Cool. But
yeah,
that might be.
You never have any odds. You're always texting us for odds.
Here are the odds for the number 3 overall pick via our good friends at Vegas Insider. And this is as of 2 days ago. Mac Jones is still -170. Justin Fields +175. Trey Lance +400. Zach Wilson +3,300. Kyle Pitts +3,300.
Fields +175.
That might be a bet that we might want to discuss further here.
Yeah, that's kind of juicy. All right. Well, we'll see what happens there. I think that Fields maybe was like +300 and is now down to +175. It's not a guarantee that they have to take Zaven Collins. I think it's possible that one of these big name dudes that nobody thought could slide to them. And it happens every year that these kind of names slide. I was going to move on unless you guys have something else you want to add to that. Maybe somebody that slides or whatever.
Just for me, I think the scenarios that you laid out, that Mac Jones is the least likely, or a quarterback is the least likely, just because quarterbacks are always such a hot topic. But the other two, Smith and Parsons, I'm buying in a little bit. You convinced me.
I think with the way this draft is heading, there's going to be a better player available at 19 than typically happens at 19. And that's because I think quarterbacks are going to be gone so early in this draft. So some better position players are going to fall. I'll tell you what, I am quite excited that this week is the draft because, A, I love the draft, like you said, NFL Christmas. But more so, we've gone through every machination of potential draft possibilities. Everyone and their mother puts out draft, mock drafts. And we've had conference calls with all these different pundits. And everyone has given their 2 cents about what's going to happen. I can't wait for Thursday night when we actually see what happens. And we can start moving forward and talking about real on-the-field football with the player that Washington football selects.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. If I had to rank kind of those scenarios, what I actually think is the most plausible, I think there's the highest chance of Parsons getting to 19, and that's still only a 1 in 4, like a 20% chance. Then I would say Smith is like a 15% chance, and then Jones would be probably – a quarterback getting there is probably less than 10%. Does that sound about right?
That's good assessment on your end.
I like those numbers.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
All right. Want to thank Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. Want you to do the exact same thing. Check them out, oarsmanva.com. We got an awesome tweet. Is it from Jared Wasser, Pete? Who sent that?
Yeah. That's you remember one time we got a review from somebody named Spandex Bulge? That's who that is. Jared Wasser, Spandex Bulge.
My guy. So Jared put together an all Ashburn syndrome team, and we can react here. And now here's what I'll say about Jared. I'm guessing he's a younger guy, because these are all, this is like a all Ashburn team of the last decade. How about that?
Right. Right.
So on offense, he goes Nate Sudfeld, Bryce Love, Cam Sims, Brandon Banks, Simi Cobbs Jr., Ari Quanjo, Sean Laval, Rosh Piersbaker, Chris Chester, Spencer Long, and at tight end, Thaddeus Moss. Listen, it's a very strong list. I think there's no way Cam Sims should be on there anymore. Like, he right. produced last year.
I have issue with Brandon Banks being on there, because he was actually a pretty damn good returner. He was never supposed to be good on offense. Nobody expected him to be. And he was awesome as a kick returner. So the two receivers I have issues with.
Was he awesome, or are you Ashburning yourself?
Yeah, I think you Ashburned yourself pretty hard there, Pete.
Yeah, dude. I don't think he was awesome.
Listen, he's probably the best kick or punt returner that Washington has had since Brian Mitchell, but that's not saying much, because this team has been atrocious at that position for a long time.
Okay. He only had one touchdown in his career, so maybe awesome was a bit strong. and I feel like he was also a fumble liability. So, okay, Jared, maybe that's okay. I think we're about one more year away from Antonio Gandy-Golden taking a roster spot here, though. I'm pretty low on him, and I think he could get bumped onto the streets rather quickly if this draft shakes out a certain way.
We should also point out that Thaddeus Moss wasn't drafted.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, still on there. Suds, I think, I mean.
Does Dwayne belong on there? I think Dwayne
might. Oh, yeah, Dwayne's on there long before Suds.
Yeah,
I was going to say Dwayne. I kind of wonder, I mean, the ultimate, I don't know. I don't feel like having this argument.
No, don't right. even bring him up.
We could go deep on this.
You know who I'm thinking of?
Yes.
Like, the ultimate discussion of Ashburn syndrome anyway would be post 2012 Robert Griffin III.
Yes.
Like, by a mile.
Yeah.
I think Bryce Love is a great one. I think Matt Jones was a pretty significant Ashburn syndromer until they finally started benching him. What about Josh Doctson? Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. But like, people kind of hated him from the start. Like,
yeah,
the injuries and stuff really clouded his early career. Nobody was like super thrilled about what he could do. We were all just kind of waiting for it to happen.
Can you do the receiver group without the 2010 draft?
Yeah.
Those guys really flamed out.
Right. I don't think Cam Sims belongs. I'm not sure Chris Chester belongs on there either. He played. Spencer
Laval. Laval is a really good inclusion, though. That guy was always hurt and never actually very good.
Quanjo. So, all right, let's go to the defensive side. All right. Junior Gallette, Chris Baker, Pot Roast, Terrence Knighton, and Phil Taylor Sr., then Zach Brown, Mason Foster, Keenan Robinson, Adonis Alexander, Monte Nicholson, DJ Swearinger, Orlando Scandrick. There is a massive, massive omission. Massive. Can you guys guess it?
Josh Norman?
No, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Reuben Foster.
Reuben Foster recently.
Of course.
Reuben Foster is – might be the peak defensive Ashburn syndrome in a long time, man.
What about Tanner Jackson?
Yeah, that's fine. But Reuben Foster never played, and people are mad they've let him go. Like, they didn't re-sign him. The guy is – I don't think he's ever going to play in the NFL again. Like, he's completely injured. Mason Foster, I don't think is fair. He played. I don't think Baker's fair. He played.
Baker played well at times. Baker was good.
Yeah, I don't think Baker's fair.
Albert Haynesworth?
Yo, Haynesworth, yes. I think Monte's a good one.
Adonis is a good one.
Adonis is definitely a good one. Skandrick didn't even make the team out of camp, right? Didn't they just cut him?
He was here for like 2 weeks, and they hated his ass so much that they just cut him right away.
Everybody hated that dude. I don't think Mason Foster's fair. I know it went bad at the end when he like had all the beef with the fans, but he played and gutted out a lot of – I don't know. It's a good list. So, man, this is a fun game, dude. You could go back a while for this.
Yeah. Yeah. We might need to save this idea for like June when it's very dry and come up with our own. I think one more I'd put on the defense is Sua Cravens. And he's versatile. So you can kind of put him wherever you want on your Ashburn defense, too.
I mean, in that vein, maybe Darius Geis is your running back. Because even before all the terrible bad stuff, he was always hurt.
Yeah.
More IR trips than plays.
That makes me think of another one on offense. Trey Quinn, definitely over.
That was just you, Pete. You were the only one. No one else was sold on him, but you loved him.
A lot of people like that guy.
That hype rocket. And then he realized that he was like locked in and didn't like his role and tried to like play it cool. And it was just way too late.
Yes, you're correct. I did not like what I was being painted as like a Trey Quinn super fan. It was awkward and it was strange.
You were. That's how you got painted that.
Now I'm getting pissed off all over again about this.
Do you remember when he did the dumb dance from The Office?
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, he did that dance. Oh my God, dude. You thought that was the coolest thing you'd ever seen.
Cause it
was still
cool.
That was still in the days when Pete was doing dog park blogs. Ooh, he's come a long way.
Dog park. Which one?
He's a big deal now, Mitch. You didn't know?
He is. He's a very big deal. I love that Jared sent that to us on Twitter because Pete recently also was given a big blue check mark verified as was I. And then I immediately got hacked and have not had access to Twitter for a few days now and have no idea when that will be solved or figured out. I am I'm quite frustrated.
Has Twitter responded to you bringing it to their attention that something's wrong or what? Where are we at in this process?
So I guess it's Sunday today. On Thursday, what time is it?
12:19, 9:19 your time there, West Coast Mitch.
So Thursday, I believe, is when it happened. I received a form. I put in my submission and then received a form email response that I responded to with all of the details of what happened and was told that I would hear back in quote a few days. So tomorrow, Monday, I will start doing some research about finding out who I can yell at to get this fixed. And maybe I'll run it up the flagpole and make somebody at NBC who has a contact, ask somebody at NBC who has a contact.
I wouldn't bother yelling into an empty hallway. I would just ask Kessler, dude.
Yeah, I'm certainly not emailing Twitter directly and being like, can you please help me? I'm gonna be looking for a name or a contact that I can reach out to directly. So it might go get run at the flagpole a little bit.
So Mitch's life with the blue check's not going that well. How's yours, Pete? I know you're jazzed up about this event.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you want to pretend like you don't care that much, but when I finally got it, it's buoyed me for about a week and a half. I feel really good about myself. I like seeing it. I like how it looks. I like the credibility it gives me. So I'm very, very happy with this development.
I will say, Pete, you generally don't play it cool, and you played it pretty cool with this. I think you haven't. Thank you. I figured every tweet that you sent would have a picture of the blue check mark big underneath it just to kind of make sure that people saw it. But you've done a good job of playing it pretty cool. So good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. JP, I hung out. You were invited, but you're still recovering. I hung out with Ryan and Ethan, also verified. Good for them. JP, Ryan brought it to my attention that you don't follow him on Instagram, and he's offended by that.
I don't?
No.
All right. I'll fix that right now. I didn't know that. that dude.
Yeah, he was. It was a topic of conversation. We went to Dudley's. We love Dudley's, and their wings are still as good as ever.
All right, I just followed Ryan. Everybody go follow Ryan Homler, H-O-M-L-E-R, on Instagram.
I also wanted to revisit something quickly from the beginning of the pod.
Uh-oh. Sure.
No, this is maybe funny, but your cameo that you're now doing, Pete, you and I have seen JP in various states of distress as we do the pod, hair amiss, askew, all over the place, random clothing and other things around as you're doing the pod. Are you getting dressed up to do these cameos, or are they kind of come as is?
No, I was not dressed up, certainly, but I had combed my hair. Like, I look better than I do right now.
I think you should make it part of the bit that when you get the cameo, you record it as is, and whatever state of affairs you look like is what they get.
How about this? I will say this right now on the pod. Anybody, if you request as is, or what do they always say for a house for sale that they're not going to do any work on? Is it
no contingencies?
No, I think it's as is, right? Sold as is.
Yeah.
If
you request a cameo and say sold as is or whatever, I'll record it immediately. If I could be wasted and I'll just do it. Otherwise I'll try to shower and look, because dude, working with B Mitch, who's always like dressed nice and like has cologne on, like it's just, like I shower all the time and like wear deodorant, but I don't wear cologne. Like, it's just a different, I don't know. It's just,
are you going to become a cologne guy?
No, dude. This is the most bougie complaint in the universe. When I was in Augusta, it gets worse. The really nice people, like the cleaning service for the house I stayed in, like washed my clothes one day, which was very, very nice of them to do, but they used like scented laundry detergent, and I can't handle it at all. Like, I can't handle scented anything. And I couldn't wear those clothes. Like, I had to put them in a bag and have washed them when I got home, because I couldn't even handle it, dude. It like gave me hives, scented stuff.
Dude, I don't know. That is the most bogus complaint ever logged on the planet.
You like scented stuff? Mitch hates it, I think.
Yeah,
I don't care. It's just funny to hear you say, when I went to the Masters, the staff cleaned my clothes and I didn't like the smell, so I had to rewash them.
Jeez. That was after hanging out with who were the two that you hung out with that you just posted a picture of?
Wright Thompson
and
the more important one,
Julian Van Winkle. Hanging out is loose. I stalked them as they were leaving a restaurant and got a picture with them. I talked to Wright a little bit the next day, but neither of them have any idea who I am.
Wright is cool and fine. Julian Van Winkle is next level. Like, that's top tier cool.
And I told him such BS that people can like sell empty Pappy bottles on eBay, and then like, you know, in Japan, wherever, they like buy them, fill them up with other bourbon and resell them. And I was like, Julian, man, I think it's so messed up. The empty bottle I have, I've saved.
JP, you think we're laughing at your story. We can't hear you at all.
JP's clearly in the middle of an awesome story, and we just can't hear any of it.
Now he's
frustrated, and things are going south.
Yeah.
Seems like a good time to wrap up this pod.
Quite a bit.
I just told a great story. I'm not telling it again. whatever. We're moving forward. Twitter update is done. Pete, any cat update?
I'll make it quick because Mitch needs to go from Zoom to Zoo. The cat, weirdly enough, has gone from demon cat to normal cat the past four nights. Hasn't bothered us at all. All we've done is played with her a little more and changed up her feeding schedule. And it's like a whole new life, a whole new world. Kim and I wake up every morning like, what did we do to deserve this? This is the best change ever. We are well rested and happy over here.
I'm glad to hear it. I still think you should consider off the balcony as a policy, but I'm glad you're sleeping again.
Has the cat heard us talk about off the balcony, and maybe that's what changed things?
That's honestly possible. I mean, I talked about that cat on all types of airwaves for a good week, and she might have just heard that and been tired of the slander.
What airwaves?
Your show and the big podcast that we're on currently.
I didn't know if you like talked about it like on Junkies or I don't know.
I know.
All right, last thing for all the fellas out there considering a vasectomy, I am 2 days clear now. It's not that big of a deal. So if it's on your radar, don't be too freaked out. I was pretty freaked out. Pete and I had this. Shout out to Pete for picking me up from the doctor. We had a plan to come up with some really funny content, but I wasn't groggy at all. Like,
yeah,
you were gonna. What were the questions you were gonna ask me?
I had five good ones, and Mitch can leave if he has to. But what was the compensation in the Alex Smith trade? Just to test your memory there. Cam Sims plus Terry McLaurin minus Tressway. I was gonna test your math. What stadium serves Banana Foster? Name three high profile pod guests. And lastly, how much is Sheriff's tag valued for? So if you were high on anesthesia, that would have been really funny to have you go through all those, but
those might normal. Be hard to do. I mean, I know all of them. Give me the math one. I'm going to try to do that. Not high on anesthesia.
Cam Sims plus Terry McLaurin minus Tressway equals what?
All right, hang on. 89 plus 17 is 96. 106 minus 5
is
101.
Nailed it. Nailed Boom. It, dude.
Who's that, Mitchell?
We got my nephew Lucas here. Lucas, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
What's up, Lucas?
Pete and JP.
You're going to the zoo soon, I heard.
Yeah, I went to the zoo. And they wild animals.
Nice.
Oh, hey, sweet dinosaur.
And it has spikes on it. Look at this.
Lucas, they want to ask you a question. Hang on.
Who should Washington draft with the 19th pick?
Christian Dershaw.
Good take.
All right, we're going to go. Mitch has got to go to the zoo. The zoo is effing open, Lucas. Enjoy it. Thank you for listening. Thursday night will be the next pod. Cannot wait. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer. And Mitch, get that kid to the zoo. I just told a great story. I'm not telling it again. Whatever. We're moving forward.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Kia. Let's ride together.